John and Ann, you're coming home to do a concert at First Baptist Paducah the evening of August 21st. Let's begin by your describing the program.
We've been doing some music together here in New York the past few years, so we're going to do some of that. We've been doing some writing also. We'll do a few of those selections. And then John had a CD come out last year called Mercy, and he's going to do a few tunes from that CD as well. So we're really excited to do this music that we've been doing here in New York, in Paducah.
Now, I think I recall Mercy, and it seems like a very contemplative piece. Would you describe your compositions as contemplative, leaning too sacred?
I don't know if I would. I mean, it's just really an expression of what I'm feeling in the moment. A lot of the songs come out of improvisation. I sit down at the piano and just start playing, and there's really no intention of making it contemplative or sacred or anything, but I mean, it's just kind of an extension of who I am, really.
Would you say the same about your art, Anne?
I really like serious music and honesty in music, and, you know, that relates to faith for me as well. And, you know, in writing lyrics, which I've been doing some lately, it really comes from a place where I've learned to just be honest and let it be what it is. I like to entertain people, and I hope people get something out of the music, but it definitely comes from a place of honesty and seriousness about kind of whatever's going on in my life.
As siblings, who is the older?
John is older.
How was growing up in a totally music-devoted household?
It was great. I mean, John's older. He may have a little bit of a different response in that he went to school in New Orleans when I was still, I think I was in the sixth grade. So he was studying jazz, and our parents always loved jazz. We didn't always hear jazz prior to that in the house. You know, Dad played with the symphony. Mom taught voice and piano, so we heard a lot of that music in the house. Dad practicing trombone, that kind of thing. But when John went to school in New Orleans, he would come back, you know, with great recordings, and the whole family, we would all be listening to them. And I can remember Dad going on a trip and coming back and bringing me a Branford Marsalis vinyl record. That's one of my musical memories of jazz. Music was just always there. Some people say you didn't stand a chance to do anything else but music because our parents are both musicians, but it definitely shaped me. And then John kind of going ahead of me and studying and learning and teaching me, basically telling me what records to check out, and you should check out Stevie Wonder. You should check out Donny Hathaway. You can learn so much from these people as well as jazz musicians. I really got an education from my parents and from John.
Yeah, our parents are both great musicians, and they love educating as well. So we both learned a lot and still learn a lot from them. They're basically or mainly classically trained. They have a lot of musical knowledge. So it was great. It was great coming up with that, you know, and they're so supportive now, and they really like what we're doing, and, you know, I don't want to call them fans, but it's kind of like they're fans as well as being our parents. It's really nice.
You two, would you mind setting up Sweet Baby Jesus for us?
Sweet Little Jesus Boy is a live recording actually done like a couple of years ago at a church in Paducah. That we did duo on Christmas Day, I think it was 2 years ago. So I'm not even sure who wrote Sweet Little Jesus Boy, do we know?
It might be a spiritual. I can't remember who the author is, but it was an arrangement I did, and we performed it on Christmas Day in Paducah.
Well, we're going to have a little Christmas in August next.
Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, we didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us. us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we could not see. We didn't know who you
When you're in New York, I know that you, John, play extensively with lots of people, and you perform in lots of venues. Do you want to chat, both of you, about your day-to-day in New York City?
I do freelance. I'm a member of maybe three or four bands, but I also, you know, just answer the phone and show up where people want me to go to play music, and that makes it fun. I have a lot of varied experiences, and I get to play a lot of different styles of music. And last night was a gig at a small jazz club with a great guitarist here in New York. It was really fun. So one week I'll be out of town, the next week I'll be in town with not much going on, and then it gives me a chance to work on my own music.
Well, I have a day job. Singers often have to have day jobs. That's a lot of my day-to-day, but it's a great day job in that it offers me a lot of free time and flexibility. And I have a weekly restaurant gig that I do with a guitar player. We have a little duo. And then I try to write and listen to as much music as I can and try to draw inspiration wherever I can. You know, I was on the train, I think it was yesterday, and I saw an ad, and it kind of prompted me to write some lyrics and go a certain direction with the song. So, you know, I'm always thinking about music, and even though I'm working my day job, music is definitely the focus.
What would you say or give as great advice to, say, a high school musician coming up, looking forward to a career? What would you say as far as making music your career?
It's a tough time for music. I would have to stress the importance of just giving, like, kind of all of yourself to it. It's really tough. You have to really spend a lot of time practicing, a lot of time checking out music, all kinds of music. And then in the end, you really need to do it. The motivation needs to be out of love for music, because otherwise I feel like you'll be let down. It's not the kind of business where you get rich. even if you're successful, depending on the style of music, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're making a lot of money. You really have to do it for the love of music.
You know, from a singer standpoint, really learn as much as you can. Singers sometimes get away with doing things by ear, but I'd say definitely if you don't know how, learn to read music, really study music theory, listen to as much as you can, really try to get some technique down. I know I've taught voice lessons and to younger people, and often they just want to come in and just sing songs they like, and they want to do like American Idol type stuff, and they really just kind of want coaching. But it's really important to learn how to use your voice and to learn the technique so that you can. My mom always said it: you can sing whatever style you want after you learn the technique. But it's really true. So I think just learning as much as you can, you know, singers should learn to play the piano. It really helps, even if it's not your main instrument. That's what I would say.
Thank you both for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much, Kate.